Well, hi there, Northgate Community Church. Hey, thank you for the honor and the privilege of being able to speak into your lives just a little bit on a topic near and dear to my heart, and that's the cause of missions. Missions is getting the message of the love of God out to those who He died for and wants to know He's got a love interest in them. And you and I have the task of getting this job done. And until this job is done, it's more years on our calendar. 2021 is already being planned. 2022 is right after that. But if you and I get the cause of missions done, we get to go to heaven. Until then, it's endless years here on earth, more candles on our cake, maybe more drive-by birthday wishes. But picture heaven. I'm looking forward to it. It's called a hope. And I'm looking forward to what lies in store for you and I in heaven. But until then, we have this task called missions. Let's get this done. My name is Jim Todd. I've had the privilege of being a pastor for 35 years, and then also the privilege of being dad to Haley Hunsinger for all of her life. Won't You Be My Neighbor? That's your series. And today, this message focuses on missions, and that's the cross-cultural work of God in taking the message of the love of God where it has not gone yet. My own slant on the message series and my words will start here. Consider the fact that Jesus taught you and I to consider anybody near or far our neighbor. Position yourself being asked by someone you don't know, won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be a neighbor to me? Won't you care for me as a neighbor? Flip the script. The world is waiting for you to be their neighbor. Now, I'd love to tell you what's left here on planet Earth for the sake of the kingdom of God is easy to do, effortless, simple, but it's not. And nothing in life significant is easy to do. Abs of steel, what I don't have, abs of steel require restraint and pressure. And everyone would have them if they were easy, if they didn't involve significant effort. And they aren't available in a cart in your Amazon box. Heaven, as an option, costs to Savior His body and His blood. And to enjoy heaven ahead will cost His church and Northgate Community Church. It's gonna cost you something. Great effort, great sweat, and a participation in every single one of you. I like to look at four pivotal passages of scripture that stand out to me for the cause of missions. First one is Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. All believers are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and all believers are tasked with the cause of missions as far as you have a role to play. And this message has to get out to virtually the ends of the earth, not down Northgate Drive and not just in California. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 21, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I have to tell you what I learned about English grammar, I didn't learn in regular school. I learned in grad school when I was studying Greek. Because in Greek, you have to understand how the grammar holds up and what are the elements of grammar. Can I get nerdy for just a minute? Now, a command or an imperative, this is almost like what happens when a parent raises their voice so their kid can hear what they are trying to say. And with great clarity, we raise our voices. It's a command. We all know what that is. If you're like a soccer coach on the sideline and you're trying to get the ref's attention, it's a command that you're calling out. Go in this passage is a participle. And that's almost like saying, as you go, or wherever you go. Then it's followed by the command, or the imperative, make disciples. That was the cause. So the urge is not that we all go get our passports and go get on planes, and you can't fly everywhere outside of the United States. It's not that simple. It's not an urge to go somewhere. But for some of our best and some of our most passionate, we need to send places where the gospel is not yet reached. And those places that are left generally are hard places to go to. And it's where we don't want our grandkids to go to. But you know what? For the sake of the gospel, someone has to go. For someone to go, many of us have to be behind them, to be sending them. We have to be involved in prayer. We have to know what's going on. We have to be in their corner so that they know that the passion that they have been sent in is followed up by a team behind them, enabling them to continue in their work in Jordan, in Kenya, in many different places where the gospel is not completely penetrated. But you and I, our command is to make disciples. And wherever we go, we're to be doing that. We should be doing that here as part of the gospel, but that also includes to the very end of the earth. Matthew 24:14 is a favorite passage of mine. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So it's a testimony to all nations. That word nations is the word ethnic. It's people groups. And that's what the world is divided up into, people groups. We know who the people groups are who have been reached. And we can almost cross them off the list because technically there are believers and there's a reproducing church, a maturing church among that culture group. Who is not reached, unreached people groups, we know who they are. And you know what? If you're in a plane going across what's called the 1040 window, most of the unreached people groups are in there. And a lot of those places, you don't want to fall out of the plane and land there. But that's where these people groups are. They're hard to reach. The fourth passage that I love to take you through is the book of Jonah. And the book of Jonah has four chapters, and it's pretty simple. We can't read it all. But there, we might honestly find ourselves resisting being used by a loving God to share Jesus. You and I, resisting being used by a loving God to share Jesus. In Jonah chapter 1, it can be broken up in a narrative of go and no, and being fleeing in a boat on the sea, and then being tossed and now swimming in the sea, and then being swallowed by a great fish. Chapter 2 is a great chapter, and this is like where everybody's Sunday school teacher is just proud, because all these verses, a wealth of investment in his young life, come to the surface. And he's now a repentant man. He's proclaiming the promises of God, and he's vowing to serve the Lord. It's a great chapter. Chapter 3 is now preaching in Nineveh. And they all repent. They all turn to God. And it's a great, great chapter. It's successful evangelism. And if only I could put a period after chapter 3 and there was no chapter 4, but it goes bad. Chapter 4 is written, and you got Jonah responding in anger towards God because God's responsiveness to the people of Nineveh who have all repented and turned to him, and then he forgives them. Jonah's ticked at that. And then it ends with God challenging Jonah in the responsiveness of his heart to people he created, to lost people. God calls Jonah on his temper tantrum, asking, "How could you be so uncaring to people in need of me, especially since they repented, and especially since I created them in addition to you? How could you not have love for them?" I remember a time in my adolescence where my parents expressed their disappointment in me, and I had it coming to me. Those words went straight to my heart, and they reflected in my response. Why didn't Jonah repent? Why didn't Jonah turn his heart around? Why don't we repent of being calloused towards those far from Christ or those who have not even heard of the gospel of Christ? Why is our heart calloused to great needs for the gospel to be shared? I'm going to be honest, as a new Christian, I wasn't sold on missions in Bible college. Actually, I spent more time in the library during missions week because I thought missions was where we sent the dusty or the old people. I still remember being in Mexico, taking students down just across the simple border where it's a different world. And I remember being down there and being just having a jaw-dropping experience where I realized that this pastor is a Mayan Indian speaking a dialect of Spanish that I don't totally know because I cheated in Spanish in high school. But this Mayan pastor is praying to the same God that I pray to. And it was mind-blowing to kind of go, oh my gosh. And one day, we're going to stand before a throne with people from every race, tribe, and nation. And the languages there are going to be more than Spanish and English. And we're all pursuing the same God. Phew, my brain was blown. I visited Israel once, and I still remember it was six of us, and it was white guys, and most of us had glasses on, which meant that you're from the West, and we're in a Arab neighborhood in Samaria, and we're in this brand new white Israeli rental van. It's got Israeli plates on it, and we're in their neighborhood, and they are staring at us. Not far from there, we visited Jacob's well, and that's where in John chapter 4, Jesus met the woman at the well. And they knew that we were in the wrong neck of the woods, and we weren't welcome. We were different from them. We were being looked down on because we were different. Do different people near and far know about the love of Jesus and know about what motivates us? People on the outside wonder if we consider them to be their neighbors, our neighbors. They're wondering, do we consider them to be our neighbors? Neighbors are those who speak well of others who live nearby. Neighbors are those who know that you can be counted on when they're in need. Neighbors are those who might cross the street to talk about significant matters like eternity and the gospel. Because neighbors care for their neighbors. Won't you be my neighbor?